But is something not right when there's an adult who spiritually is like a baby that is not developed? That's what he's talking about. That's the idea of being small here, being immature and undeveloped. Not immature like silly. We all have some of that. But immature is being stunted, willfully stunted. Spiritual gullibility is eternally deadly. It's not a game. It's not cute. The adult who will not grow.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the book of 2 Timothy, verse by verse. Paul instructs us in his letter to the Romans that we're to be renewed by the transforming of our mind. The best way for us to do this is by studying the scriptures daily so that we might discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In today's message, Pastor Rick will touch on the importance of striving for spiritual maturity. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now here's Pastor Rick in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, with today's study.
It says they make captives. That's POWs, Satan's prisoners of war. But they're willful prisoners. That's the difference. The gate's wide open. They can go anytime they want, run to the throne of Christ. This is serious. That's what he's saying. Makes them captives. Serious business. You're talking about the soul. We all have bodies, but that's not who we are. It's the soul. There's something running the body. There is something running the machine. It is our soul, who we are, our identity. Man has the potential in this life to be an inferior trinity, having a body, a soul, and he has the opportunity to have a spirit. But if that spirit is dead in sin and trespasses, then there's just a body and a soul. And when they die, that body dies. But that soul continues to exist without end, eternally. But where? That's the question. And why? Where? Because within that answer is the solution. And so he says, these creep into the house, they make captives of gullible women, he says. Disobedient men, gullible women. Eve was gullible. She swallowed the story. Adam was just a bonehead. He just, you know what? I'm a happy home and all that stuff. Look at her. She's beautiful. How can I say no? With your lips. That's how. Just shake your head. That'd be enough. But don't eat that stuff. And the centuries have produced countless Adams and Eves repeating this old movie over and over again. It's a broken record. I know some of you here might not know what a record is. But anyway, we'll doo-wop through that later on. Anyhow. Back to this of gullible women. The Greek word there for gullible actually is small. It means small, little. The idea being spiritually immature. Now, during this morning's baby dedication, you know, the sweetness of the lad and the lass, the warmth. You know what's so beautiful about the little babies? They don't judge you. They don't judge you for anything. They're just being their, you know, little selves. Sorry, I could have made a funnier face than I remembered. You're looking at me. So I ejected from that plan. But they are immature, and they're supposed to be immature. They are developing. But is something not right when there's an adult who spiritually is like a baby that is not developed? That's what he's talking about. That's the idea of being small here, being immature and undeveloped. Not immature like silly. We all have some of that. But immature is being stunted, willfully stunted. Spiritual gullibility is eternally deadly. It's not a game. It's not cute. the adult who will not grow. Now, in history, we have a long list of those who are of this sort, who have used Christianity to dupe women. There's Rasputin, there's Joseph Smith, there's Brigham Young, there's David Koresh, and there are many others. Those are just the headliners among those who have targeted the gullible women. You can look up the lives of all these men and find out what I'm talking about. Here's Brigham Young, just for example. You know, they honor him. They named the school after him. He believed that there were people walking on the sun. We won't get into some of their beliefs now. But this is what I mean about, you know, God has not given us brains just so we could lock them away. And Christianity is often accused of being brainless. Granted, there are many out there in Christ's name who give them fodder. But not all of us. And what are you doing looking at me anyway? Should be looking at God. Well, back to what it says. Well, before I get to the next part, this is what John wrote about the Rasputins and the Joseph Smiths of history. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Why is anybody ever surprised that there's a false pastor, a false prophet, a false church? Why is there a surprise? What do you think Satan does with his time? Fish? Four fish? He's casting his net for people. He is the fowler, and he is the foulest of the fowlers. He says, loaded down with sins. That means there's no serious resistance to sin, and therefore, no serious resistance to sin, therefore the sin piles up. James said, resist the devil and he flees. You say, well, I've resisted and he hasn't fled. Well, you better keep resisting, because if you don't, the consequences are going to be much worse, because the sin will pile up. And he's banking on it that you're not going to continue to resist. And he's afraid that if you do continue to resist, God's going to protect you. Somehow, some way. And so the cravings mount as the sin piles up, causing one to be loaded down with urges that are wrong, loaded down with sin. He says, led away by various lusts. That led away means they're lured. They're seduced because they fed the flesh. That's why. This is not magical, you know. He's just, you know, always after the Lucky Charms kind of a stuff here. This is real stuff. There's nothing about it that's fake. The flesh looks for an excuse to indulge. And so it trivializes consequence. Ah, there's no hell. I don't believe that. The Bible's not accurate. Come on. It's not true, man. And they look for any loophole they can get, because the flesh is running the ship, and the flesh has told them there's no consequence to feeding me. And so the one thing we must know about fighting a craving is that when we manage to corral it, if there's some lust, some urge that you have, whatever it may be for, it could be for cornflakes. I've got cereal on my mind for some reason. I'm becoming a cereal mentioner. But anyway, when you corral it, it's still there. And it's kicking at the fence. It's looking for an opportunity to run free. That's what lust does. That's what a sinful nature is all about. A fallen nature is about that. So if you can get your lusts corralled where you've got them controlled, keep your guard. Continue to rotate your guards to keep them fresh. And if you can, when that thing looks like it's going to break out, shoot it. You will be better off doing it this way than not. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, talking about those of this sort, the Rasputins, the Brigham Youngs, he continues, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. Rasputin was a slave of corruption. Joseph Smith was a slave. He was a liar. Everything he said was a lie, and he knew it. And he pushed it off as truth. Darwin was completely wrong. And he pushed the truth. But it was not an out-and-out lie in his head as it was with Joseph Smith. And yet, people bow down to the findings of both of these fools. Fools by the standards of Scripture. They could have been A students in class of life, academics, but they were a failure when it comes to God's Word. And the evidence is still there. And the only way, all you need to do, litmus test, hold it next to God's Word. That's all you got to do. Very simple. And find out, woe is them. May I be guarded against this thing. Verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the fate for any who would seek God without dying to self. You want religion, you want to master the Bible, but you do not want to die to yourself and live to God, then you will always be learning and you will never come into the knowledge. You will never get it. You might have your facts lined up, but they won't be yours. They're just mere academia in the biblical, in a religious package. And so failure to allow the Holy Spirit to develop us is to be developed outside of the Holy Spirit. And who does that? Who gets that job? If God is not developing you, then who is? Well, I'm doing it myself. Prove it. Because when we hold you up next to history, we find out there's a whole line of people doing the same thing as you, and you weren't alive then. There's a devil. He is real. We know him as Satan. And the day is going to come, we won't know him anymore. But not you if you die in your sins. And so these women did not really want knowledge of the truth. They wanted knowledge, but not knowledge of the truth, because that would lead to conviction of sin and call for repentance. And so what we have, not only in these women, but in churches and Christianity through the ages, is just going to get worse as time goes on, is information without transformation. Woohoo, where do I get that? Educated without anointing. People who want satisfaction from God without serving God. That's what we have. We don't have to guess about how this is going to turn out. It's like driving a classic car off a cliff. I wonder how this is going to turn out. What's going to be it's going to be damage, great damage. So we must ask ourselves, have I come to the truth, or am I tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching? Every time something new comes, how many of you have been walking with Christ for a few decades and you've seen the Christian fads come and you've seen them all scurry over to like a little herd of mice thumping along? Got to keep it anyway. And they follow every doctrine and they hold on. Oh, did you read the latest book? Oh, did you hear about the latest thing? No, and I don't want to hear it. You got to say it like that because they don't question you after you kind of growl. Paul says this, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's what they do. And yet many do. They have that form of godliness. They're always learning, but they're never getting it because the truth is the part they don't want. Because the truth is offensive to a sinner who will not repent. But to the Christian who does repent, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to come to God and say, I did it. I'm ashamed of it. I never want to do it again. And I know I'm likely to. But your grace and mercy is so powerful, is so far-reaching. You've taken it out of the hands of fools. And you've put it into your hands. So long as I abide with you, I will be your child. And when you have that kind of a confession, you are working not to sin, even if you fail. He says to come to the knowledge of the truth. So many things in creation work in tandem, do they not? You can have a beautiful car, but if it doesn't have tires, it's really not a car. It's a centerpiece. You can have a house with a roof and nice paint and furniture, but if you don't have heat and water, You're going to be very uncomfortable. Knowledge is the same way. It needs more than just knowledge. It needs humility. It needs recognition that in the universe, I'm just a speck. And yet this speck can be loved by God as a child of God. What a promotion. What an elevation. This is what happens to the Christian. And we either take it by faith or we lose it in the valley of the shadow of death. You cling to it and you fight for it because it's worth it. And God will let you, because in those experiences of life where you think God has forsaken you, that's where the maturity is happening. That's where the faith is being proven. That's where ground is being covered, and it may not be all about you, but it may at that time be through you. All of us, without exception, have to at some point face unpleasant things with our faith. And that is a time where we cling to the rugged cross. We cling to the Lord through faith. If faith does not mean something to the believer, it means everything. And so to come to the knowledge, we need direction. Eve's quest for knowledge was not for the holy, but for herself and her husband, for her family. It wasn't for God. She didn't say, "What about eating this is going to make me closer to God? What about eating this will make me recognize that you're the devil?" She didn't have enough knowledge to say all that at the moment, but she had enough knowledge to say some of it. She could have said, "What about this is going to draw me closer to God?" We've been over this time and time again. She shouldn't have been by the tree, period. And that's what the flesh does. It gets you by the tree. And then all that glitters that's not gold begins to lure you in. And today there are Eves whose quest for knowledge has become a lust for knowledge, but not truth. And what happens with them? They begin to destroy the truth when it's found in others. They begin to refute them, to argue, to resist. We get it here. Pastors are the dumbest people on earth. But the people in the university, they know everything. Well, why don't you go to church there then? What do you come to church for? If you've made up your mind, the pastor has to match the professor. You roll that way. I rebuke that. That's from hell. Where does it say, "And he himself has given some to be professors in the university for the edification of the church"? And this is what we have. Folks going for knowledge, but not according to truth. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. If you love the Lord, you're going to go for the truth. And you can do all three at the same time. You can gain knowledge. You can edify. And I forgot the third one. Oh, you can have the truth. There you go. Jesus says this in John's gospel, and this is the Lord praying. He says to the Father, "Sanctify them by your truth." Your word is truth. That's what he says. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He does not say sanctify them by knowledge, by truth. What is truth? That's what Pilate said cynically, not even waiting for the answer, because he decided, you know, I'm close to this now. I feel better not even dealing with it. It's not what is truth, it's who is truth. And truth is reality. It is fact. It is Jesus Christ. If you took away everything in creation, there would be the Godhead. Can't get away from it. Cannot stop them from being. That's the knowledge we're to have. Verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith." Well, look, we can argue all day, we'll discuss all day who these two characters were. They only show up here by name in Scripture. It was part of the Jewish tradition. It shows up in the Targum, which is the Aramaic paraphrase of the Old Testament. You got all that? So this shows up there, and that's probably what he's quoting. So the people at that time familiar with the Targum would have been right on board with him that these, it is said there, and we don't take this as Scripture, but it's historical. It could be true, could not be true. Paul is not saying it's true, but he's using them as his example. It is said that they were amongst the magicians, the sorcerers, the shaman that resisted Moses when he said, "Let my people go." And so they, according to the Targum, converted, went out of Egypt with the Jews and perished in the revolt at the golden calf. Well, you got all that out of the way. You can look up more. You won't find too much, I don't think. But here's the point. Just as Moses looked to set God's free and met with resistance from those who did not want God's people to be free, so do these people who side against God's truth and manipulate the immature. They don't want you free. The truth shall set you free. They stand to resist. And so the resistance faced by Moses, mentioned here by Paul, symbolizes the determination in the end times of false teachers to resist God and Jesus Christ and take out as many Christians as they possibly can. And so Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. That's what Paul is saying. Same old sin, different package, same contents. And so he establishes this correlation between those who creep into households, those who creep into church, those who creep because they cannot walk upright, because they have not the truth. You want to look for Darwin's table of evolution of those who can't walk upright. It's those who don't have the truth. Now, I need to be moving forward here. We've only got an hour left. So do these also resist truth. You live in unrighteousness. Daniel 8:12, because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. What? He got away with it? The bad guy gets the gold? That's not right. He only gets earth gold. He only gets it for now. The day is coming where he gets nothing but judgment. And we'll be walking on that stuff, streets of gold. Romans 1:8, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it down. They're drowning it. They're holding down the truth because they're up to no good. Men of corrupt minds, he said. Man in his wickedness restrains truth, and he knows it. You think the news editors, you think that they don't know that they're lying when they suppress the truth? But their conscience has become seared as with a hot iron. I'm almost closing. Got another 200 words. Romans 8:5, for those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. Romans 16:18, for those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. That goes back to the gullible, the small. He says they're disapproved concerning the faith. That's a heavy sentence to say to someone, you are disapproved by God. These have stripped themselves of any hope for salvation. They do it to themselves. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Imposters is what they are. Verse 9, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, and as theirs was also, as Jannes and Jambres, as their folly was exposed by Moses, so will these end-time manipulators of religion be exposed, and there will be an end to the advance of evil. And where it says, for their folly will be exposed for all that it is, deadly to human beings, as theirs was also. Now, I'm closing with this. All this, of course, applies to the unfaithful during the perilous times of the end times. I'm going to close with two scripture verses. 2 Peter 2, verse 12, 13. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness. But this is not what God wants for man. God is not looking forward to judging the wicked. He will. But it's not something that, oh, today is a good day. They're going to burn today. That's not God. But it will happen. And so we close with this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Speaking of God, he says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
It's our prayer for each and every broadcast of Cross Reference Radio that you would grow in your relationship with Jesus. Perhaps after listening today, you'd like to visit us for one of our worship services here at Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. For driving directions and current service times, log on to crossreferenceradio.com and simply select the link to the church homepage. There you'll find all the information you need. This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio, the teaching ministry of Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Mechanicsville, Virginia. We invite you to join us again for another teaching through the book of 2 Timothy with Pastor Rick. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.